Good evening, ladies and gents. Today is October 8th, 2019, and I want to welcome you back to our Talk Back Tuesdays, Medical Moments 917. Tonight is going to be a very short night, just going to go over some quick facts, some of which I may have touched on before. And if I have, just excuse me and bear with me. But some things are just worth repeating as far as I'm concerned, just as far as I'm concerned, just to make sure that we all are on the same page. And I just want to thank everybody again for your listening ears. Myself, my husband, and all my family and close friends, we really, really appreciate your time. From your day, because I know that there are other things that you could or you probably should be doing, but you're taking out your 15 minutes to listen to us, and we greatly, greatly appreciate that. I just wanted to say, too, like with anything that you start off new, you start off small, right? And then you grow to a point that you, in your head, you think you should be at, or better. Sometimes you might want to start with a small podcast or a small face page, and you have a goal to yourself, maybe 5-10 people, and you end up with 15 people, and you go, wow, that's great. I didn't really have a goal of how many people I'm looking for, but I think in my head that every person represents a finger, right? And we need 5 fingers to ball up and make a fist. And with a fist, right, we can conquer more. Not that we have to necessarily be hitting anybody or hitting anything, but in a lot of times, just making a fist shows power. So I am happy to have a couple of fists full of faithful listeners that tune in every week. I really, really, really do appreciate your listening. All right, most of you may know, some of you don't, but I'm broadcasting here out of Massachusetts, and I mentioned last week how the fall is just starting, the temperatures are starting to get crisp, haven't turned on the heat yet, but one night I almost was tempted, but the fall in New England is just beautiful, it's gorgeous, so I don't know if any of you that don't live in the fall, in an area where you get the four seasons, can appreciate it, but I really, really do enjoy it. This is my favorite time of the year, even though I know that pretty soon it's going to start getting dark early. I'm not going to be so happy with that, but I love the crisp temperatures. I love the fall clothing and the burgundy shirts and sweaters. I love all of that and whatever else fall represents. Apples. People do a lot of apple picking. All right, I'm going to really tonight just kind of talk about the state of Massachusetts and their medical negligence claims. So in Massachusetts, you need to have, you have 3 years to file a claim from the date of the accident or the injury. I know that doing research, I found out Connecticut, I believe, has 2. It's a lot of other states that have 2, and some even have 1 year. So you need to really check those numbers, go online if you feel that you have been harmed by a medical professional, because you have a certain time limit to get your paperwork filed and to find an attorney. And sometimes, as many of you have been reaching out to me the last couple of weeks, it is not so easy to find an attorney. So as soon as you realize that you do or you think you've been compromised in any way, you need to start reaching out for an attorney as fast as you can. Get somebody that you think can represent you fairly, and get somebody that you think you would like, because I said this in a couple of podcasts before, you are going to be in that person's face and they're going to be in your face for years. So make sure that it's a person that you like, a person that you have a lot in common with, because this becomes an experience and they also will feel like a close friend or family by the time this thing is all over. Now in Massachusetts, they do have some kind of addendum, I guess, to the 3-year rule, where you have up to 7 years if there's a foreign object that's in your body. So I don't really know how that worked, because our case was a surgical error, and that's all I know about from my personal experience. But if anybody else knows anything about the foreign objects and how they get more time or how that's done, you could definitely hit me up on social media and I'll come back in and talk about that for next week. Really realize that the medical malpractice cases are very, very complex. They are long, they are tedious, they will drag you down to the ground. So you need to have the stamina to be able to go through it. First of all, for people who have lost loved ones with it, you've already lost a family member. Now you have to fight this court battle with these big time defense attorneys who are going to try to put you through the ringer, try to make it look like what you're saying is not the truth, trying to make it look like this was your own fault when you know good and well that it wasn't. Another process that we have to do in Massachusetts is we have to go through an offer of proof, which is a medical tribunal, which consists of a Supreme Court judge, a physician, and an attorney. You have to have all three present, and you and your attorney and the doctor, nurse, dentist, psychiatrist, whoever you're suing, and their attorney will show up at the court and they'll present some facts and let these three people decide should your case go on. That's big here in Massachusetts because a lot of cases do not go on. They stop right there, it's dismissed, and they don't have a lawsuit. I don't know what happens in that case because that didn't happen to me, but I don't know if you could come back later with more information and then maybe your case could go through. To me, that sounds logical, but then again, this is the law, so who knows what you would have to do if your case get dismissed at that point. I would assume you must not have enough evidence, so they have to stop it. So a lot of cases, they do not make it through, unfortunately. The kind of, cases that do quite often make it through a Massachusetts court tribunal system would be the failure to diagnose, which is actually the most common form of medical negligence, prescription errors, childbirth errors, and surgical errors. That's where we fall in this household. But my husband, it was a surgical error that was done. And we went through the medical tribunal, lasted a couple of hours. I would say it was probably 3 hours or less. I can't remember exactly because it was a while back. So we made it through that first step, which was great. But then comes all the other stuff that comes along with a lawsuit. But making it through that, we were grateful that we did because that showed us that our case was not frivolous, that we weren't making up anything, and that we had some merit to what we were saying. I wouldn't have wasted time if I didn't think that we didn't have merit. I know some people do, right? You get people who are just so crazy and want to sue if they get a broken fingernail, but I don't have time to waste like that. I'm not going to be spending hours in courtrooms and meeting with attorneys and trying to get medical records and that for that stuff if I really didn't believe that something happened. Another thing that I wanted to bring up is within the last couple of weeks in my other medical negligence Facebook groups, I've seen people who have lost their children for different reasons at the hands of a medical profession and a professional and still had problems even getting lawyers to secure a lawsuit. So it's even if someone has an event at a hospital and they pass away and you know that there was some foul play, it's still hard to get an attorney to represent. It's just a very hard thing to do. And one of the states, for death, their medical malpractice cap, I believe, was $350,000. And it was really hard for that family to get an attorney because they didn't want to represent. And $350,000 was the most that they could make because that's a lot of work doing a medical malpractice. Going through those discoveries, getting all the medical records, all the appointments, all the depositions. So I really, my heart goes out to that family who lost their child. I think in the end they were able to find one attorney, but something has got to be done. These caps have got to be changed. They've got to be amended. They really do. In Massachusetts, if I want one thing changed in our law with medical malpractice, I would say that an appeal. I think you have 30 days from your court date decision after your verdict is read to decide if you're going to do an appeal. And I think that, to me, 30 days is not enough, because you have to find an appeal attorney. You have to pay them their retainer, right? And they want their money up front for the work that they're going to do to get your case in an appeal court. And a lot of people just don't have $30,000 or $40,000 just lying around to give to an attorney for an appeal. They just don't. So I don't think that 30 days is enough. I would like to see that law change. I would say at least minimally 1 year. Give you 1 year to try to come up with the money so that you can be able to get an appeals attorney, so that you can be able to do an appeal. I just think 30 days is freaking ridiculous. It is ridiculous. Let me think. I don't really have much more. You guys can keep reaching out to me, and I will try to answer any questions. Like I said, I'll do any research that you have. Every state has so many different rules and regulations. The best place really to start for your state is medical negligence for your state, whatever, if you're in New York, California, Ohio, Texas, and Google. Start there and start finding out the facts that are pertinent to your state. Find out the first thing is, what is your statute of limitations? Remember, I always preach now, since our medical negligence is when we go to doctor's appointments, to have a pen and paper handy. Start taking notes. Get people names. Get them to repeat information that you don't clearly understand. And I'm going to tell you, I have had to go to an emergency room with a family member recently, and I did have paper and pencil to take notes. Luckily, I didn't really need to take that many, because they do provide the aftercare summary now, which that's standard everywhere. But the doctors in that ER were excellent. They answered all the questions. I knew everybody's name. I didn't have any problem, and I feel really good to know that I can say that, but I was prepared. I did have my pen and my paper, and I did write down a couple things, but for the most part, that visit was great. That's how I think that an emergency room visit should go. Questions should not have to be asked if you don't have any, but if you do, you should be allowed. You shouldn't feel like you're putting somebody off. You shouldn't feel like they have to rush to be with the next patient. You should feel comfortable asking and understanding what procedures are about to be done to your loved one. Because that's very, very important. And like I said earlier in a couple podcasts back, try to bring a family member with you whenever you're going to have a surgical procedure, whenever you're getting a consultation. Have two people, because Lord forbid something goes wrong and it's just your word, even though you may have copious clear notes, your word, those notes, sometimes the defense attorneys will tear you apart. But if you have two people and the notes, it's a little bit better for you if you need it. I pray to goodness that no one ever have to go through a medical negligence, but it's bound to happen, because it's thousands of people every month who have some kind of medical negligence done to them. All right, on that note, I would like to thank you all again for listening to Medical Moments 917. Please be encouraged to join our Facebook page. And we also have a Facebook group that is growing pretty well. I want to thank everybody for joining that. I really appreciate everybody's time and listening ears, because you could be doing anything else, but you chose to be with us. Keep holding up those fists. A fist shows strength. We're not going to go anywhere. We're not going to be turned around. We are going to stand up for what we believe in, and we are going to keep fighting until more is done about these medical negligence. All right. Until next week, everybody have a very nice week.